do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was at a barbecue a couple of weeks ago, last weekend, the weekend before, and it was for a house group that I was involved with quite some time in Exeter, and in that time, people had come and gone in the group, and there was some new people I was chatting to, and they were like, oh, so this chap was like, so how did you get here, and where were you from, and he spoke very well. I wish I spoke nicely like that. And I was like, well, this is where I am, and I'm going to, you know, oh, where do you go to church? Because that's, you know, what every Christian asks you, you know, what do you do, and where do you go to church? I said, oh, go to Riverside in Torden. I've not heard of that. What kind of church is that? I said, oh, it's a PIH church. A PIH? I've not heard of PIH. And so I was thinking PIH, Toronto. Oh, you're a Toronto freak. And in that moment, I felt my soul and spirit recoil in myself, and I suddenly started to get a bit apologetic. Well, and I went, I just stopped myself. I said, you know what? Yeah, I am, mate. I'm a Toronto freak. Because you know what? One thing that really set Toronto apart from me was the abandonment to the Spirit of God. And throw the program out the window because God's here and we're just going to do whatever he does. And that's always been my heart. I love God, I love his people, but I love God more than I love you. And I love, and that's allowed, thank you very much. And the one thing I know is that one Godfrey Birtle, one touch from the King changes everything. That's all it takes. Don't care how good it is today. Don't care how bad it is today. All you need is just one touch from him this morning. Amen? I'm a man with a mission this morning because time is already rolling on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm just going to share some stories about stuff that's happened while I've been out in Thailand because I've not really shared with you guys fully. I just had a trip a little while ago. And I've been out there, you know the story, I ended up out there, got married, you know, didn't mean to do that, that was an accident. My mum's like, why are you getting married? I'm like, well, you know, it was just one of those happy coincidences that I met just the perfect woman, just who really did complete me. And I really do mean that, because I don't feel love easily, and I treat it with much suspicion, if I'm being honest, because usually it comes with strings attached. I love you, but if you go outside of these boundaries, then I ain't loving you no more. Don't matter. And with Nia, I just found just that perfect, complete love. And with my kids, I just found the same thing. See, even sometimes with the love of the wife, there's the odd string attached. You know, sometimes we ruffle it the wrong way, don't we? Yeah, come on. Yeah, you just if everybody's lying right now, all the men are just lying. Stop lying. You're in church, you know. But the one thing I saw reflected in my kids is just this unconditional love, with no strings attached, that says, "Daddy, I love you." I ain't their dad. But they've just decided that's who and how I am in their life and received me that way. And in my life, God has used those relationships to show me who I am and who he is to me and how he wants to relate to me. Does that make sense? You know, because when I went to the mission field, I didn't go through no Bible organization and things like that. I just landed raw. Didn't really want to be a missionary. Has anybody ended up doing something they didn't want to do? Anybody in ministry would say that, you know, because you sometimes, you know, you have these great ideas, but then God just takes you in another direction. And I didn't know what God was going to do in Thailand. I just knew that God had sent me to Thailand. I knew I had a mission and a mandate. I had a very clear word, my son, I am giving you to Thailand. And in that journey was a journey in the prophetic for me. And this morning, you know, the slides I had were relating on just some stories around some prophetic stories that I want you to build your faith this morning. Because this church is called to be a prophetic church. You know, the video that you won't get to see this morning is my daughter prophesying to you as a church. I asked my son and daughter for words this week. I says, I'm preaching at Riverside Church. Can you get a word for me, babies? My daughter came back, yeah, I got a word. And the word was this, that she saw, she had two pictures. She saw a king's palace. And she's like, I don't know what that means. But she saw a big king's palace when she was thinking about Riverside Church. And then she saw a crown come from heaven. And she said it was a beautiful crown. And she asked the Holy Spirit what it meant. And the Holy Spirit said, I am raising up this church. You know, and I really believe that God is wanting just not to raise up a church as in this church, but he's wanting to raise up the church to be a prophetic voice into the nation and the nations. Amen? You see, because it's not important what I think, it's just important what God says. See, because the truest thing about you is not what your wife says about you. You may feel it's the truest thing about you. And wives, you may feel it's the truest thing about your husband is what you think of them. Or the other way around. But actually, the truest thing about somebody is what God says about them. Amen. And in the journey of the prophetic in Thailand, was because nobody knew who I was, I could take risk. It was easy to take risk. So there was one church a friend introduced me to called Fakrum Church. And these are an amazing bunch of people. I'm still connected to them sort of 3 years later. And I was like really hungry to push into the prophetic, really go deeper. It doesn't matter. You know, I was really hungry to go deeper. And so, okay, I'm going to this church, God, what do you want to say? So I sat down with a pen and paper. All you students of the prophetic, hopefully you're taking notes. I sat down with a pen and paper and says, Holy Spirit, what do you want to show me about these people I'm going to speak to today? And he showed me a picture of a woman. That was a really general word of knowledge. I says, okay, God, tell me something about this woman. She has three kids. Okay, what are the genders of the kids? They're three daughters. Okay, tell me something specific about one of the daughters, Holy Spirit. The middle daughter is away from God, and it's because she's been in a relationship with a boyfriend, and she's, you know, way outside of the tracks of God. Okay, wrote all that down. Because the prophetic comes in intentionality. If I prophesied every time I felt led, guess what, folks? I wouldn't really prophesy that much. Because actually, it's a bit of a push and it's a bit of a bind. And every time you open your mouth, if you're doing it right, you're risking your reputation. You're risking failure. You're risking... Amen? Yeah. And so I believe that's where the greatest words come in the atmosphere of risk. So I asked God for another word. And he showed me this woman with this polka dot dress. Blue dress, white polka dots. Very clear. Okay. Tell me, you know... Tell me something about this woman. He told me something. Okay. So I thought the easiest so the 100 people, 120 people, and they said, oh, we have Ajahn Ed, who's a prophet from England. He's come to speak to you today. No word of a lie. That's how I was introduced. No pressure. Not this is just some bloke. This is a prophet from England. I didn't send out a press release and ask him to say that. That's just way too much pressure from being honest. And so the expectation in the room was huge. And the one thing I know about the prophetic is that expectation will pull the prophetic to a whole nother level. If you come to church like, yeah, whatever, God, guess what you're going to receive? Exactly. If you aim for nothing, you're going to get nothing. And this morning, when I came to this morning was really good. We had so many prophetic words this morning, I almost didn't get to get up here. That's awesome. But over the past year, I've seen a real fluctuation, if I'm being honest, in the expression of prophecy. So this morning, God is wanting to stir you to another level of risk and faith. Because there's only so many times we can go, and thus saith the Lord, he loves you. Amen. That's all right, but I need something a bit more substantive, because if I'm going to change a nation like God has called me to change Thailand, I need something more than bless you, my children. Amen? Can I stamp on some toes this morning? I know you're all prophetic people. You've all done the training. In fact, I've had people say to me, oh, we've done so much training on the prophetic. Oof. We don't need any more training. So where is your expression? And not just in this building. Don't give a rip if you're prophesying here or not. Because out there needs it. So I was in church. I had my two prophetic words. I had another couple of ones that were quite easy. So I'm looking for the polka dot dress. 120 people, can't see a polka dress to save my life. All the way through the worship, hallelujah. There's got to be a polka dot dress here. Somewhere there's 120 people, 70% of them are women. There's got to be a polka dress. No, nothing. Not a dicky bird. I'm like, well, if this one doesn't work out, the rest, they're probably not going to work out either. Oh, dear. Here we go. Double or bust. So I'm stalling for time, a little bit like I am now, and I'm just, shambarababasunda, hi, I'm whatever. And a person very rudely gets up in the middle of a message, walks out, and comes back 10 minutes later dressed in a polka dot dress. At that point, I'm like, okay, that's my green light to go. So the Holy Spirit highlighted a woman to me, and I says, excuse me, have you got children? See, when you're giving words of knowledge, always start really, really wide. Do you happen to have children? Yes. That's a wide one. Because you start easy, because you're building faith. Do you have children? Yes. Do you have three children? A little bit more? Yeah, I do. Now she's looking at me a bit weird. I says, you're all daughters, yes? Now everybody in the room is like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Everybody's like, whoo, everybody's not like this. Everybody's, a bit more excited, because they're like, God's honing in on someone. That everybody around them's like, thank you, Jesus. Come on. But in Thai. And I said, okay. And you have three daughters, and your middle daughter is away from God right now because she is in a relationship with an unbeliever. Well, the room went nuts because that was exactly the situation. And so this woman now is crying. She's not listening to anything I'm saying. How rude. Everybody around her is... Because some strange white man knew something about her life. So when everybody had calmed down, which took quite some time, because they're very excitable, this bunch. Almost as excitable as me. Almost. And I said, well, we're going to pray and decree that your daughter is coming home. And the whole church got behind it. And so we just decreed and we declared and we bind and we loosed and we did everything we knew how to do. We went through the whole handbook, And then we went on. I went back to that church probably 4 months later, going back into Thailand because I was coming in and out of England. And at the end of the service, the pastor's daughter brings this young woman to me, says, do you know who this is? I went, no. Because I'd forgotten. Because I'd slept since then. And she says, this is the girl you prophesied about. Within 1 week, as I was praying in that service, her boyfriend mysteriously dumped her. She come home with a tail between her legs, praise God. And in that moment, I was able to pray and release her into her destiny. Amen. You see, because real prophecy changes the real world. Yeah. I ain't playing Dungeons and Dragons, folks. You go into the prophetic forums sometimes on Facebook and you feel like you're entering into Dungeons and Dragons, and you all feel like, well, I see a big sword and I have this pet dragon. I've met Christians like that, it's just crazy. I'm like, but okay, yeah, you've got all this revelation, but how is what God's showing you changing the world around you? You see, because God wants us not to bless ourselves, He wants us to change a nation. You see, because this church is called to change the atmosphere of Taunton, it's called to change the atmosphere of Somerset, it's called to change the atmosphere of the universe. Is that wide enough for you? He's called you. But if you don't step up, guess what? It ain't going to happen. So many people, I have all these prophetic words. I've got 53 prophetic words about my destiny. Ooh, lovely. I had Cheyenne pray. I had John Arnott pray for me and give me this amazing prophetic word. Okay, great. What are you doing about it? Oh, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord's time. Now, that sounds really good. But usually that excuse is rooted in fear of like, I'm frightened I'm going to screw something up. And you know what? You probably will. But you know, God worked in partnership with Adam to create, to name the animals. God wants to work in partnership with us, in collaboration with us. And he said, to do that, he's given us his power, he's given us his authority, and he says, go. Because what more do we need? You've been filled with the Spirit. You have the blood of Jesus running through your life. You are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. See, but most of us don't believe that last bit, do we? That's the bit we struggle with. You're not like, I'm not Ed 2.0. You know, an improved version of the original. You know, in that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The word new there is the word kainos, which is, it's not like new in regards to time. It's new in regards to quality and substance. So God just didn't wind back the clock on your life and go, okay, I've given you a fresh slate. We've took you back to zero. Go for it. Because guess what? If you do that, you're going to screw up the same because you've still got the same operating system. But if anybody be in Christ, they are a completely new species that has never existed before. You have no genealogy because you are hidden with Christ. You see, because back to stories. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You're a new creation. Not just new as in God took you back to the start. He didn't take you back to Genesis. He put you in Christ. And he has given you a new heart, or new operating system. So now we can do the things that God tells us to do. He says, I will take away your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. You have a heart of flesh, which means you can respond and do the things that God tells you to do. And there was a dusty silence in the room. The service with the polka dot woman. Remember, we had the lady, the three kids. Everybody's so at this point now, there's so much faith in the room, it's just crazy. So I preach, I sit down, I'm like 3 hours in, my job's done, they've done worship. I preach, okay, I don't know. I'm thinking English, they'll close in about 10 minutes, go home, cup of tea, food after, whatever. They do another hours of worship. And the pastor gets up and said, okay, we're ready for another one, Ed. As we say in Thailand, Alina, eh? He says, yep, we went. So off I go again. 5 hours later. That's called hunger, folks. That's why England doesn't have revival. Because you ain't hungry. I am stamping on toes this morning. I may never get in this pulpit again, so bless God. I'm gonna. My old pastor who mentored me, I told you this morning, he says, don't preach for a second appointment. Preach like you're never getting in the pulpit again. It's a good job you ain't got a pulpit, yeah, praise God. You know, so he said, preach like you know, because we in the West, we sit here complaining, why isn't God moving? Oh, God, we want you to do something. Oh, God, move in power. And God's like, come on. Exactly. But the problem is we don't know what we have. And God had to take me to Thailand in order to show me what I had. Because do you know what? Oh, I'm producing my first book next month. Woo! I'm so excited. I never thought I would ever publish a book, ever. I hate writing. But God put a message on my heart 7 years ago. And that message was a message for failures. Because 7 years ago, I resigned from my church in disgrace. And people referred to me as a burnout, as a ministry failure. And so what happened is I became identified with my mess. There's one honest person in the room this morning, bless God. You know, so my mess became who I thought I was. It's not true. But when we use expressions like this, and you can read it in the book that comes out on the 3rd of July, available from all on good online retailers. there you go, plug. Just a little bit of grace, come on. Come on. It'll fund my flight back to Thailand. There you go, come on, girl, come on. You know, and I said to this person who was trying to help me through this process, I said, because people had said it to me, I'd fallen from grace. And he went, no, Ed, you've just fallen deeper into grace. And what I realized is we'd use that word badly, that expression, fallen from grace. Because when you read the context in Galatians 5, it says that we are fallen from grace when we try to justify ourselves. And when he said, you've not fallen from grace, you've fallen into grace, Ed, I didn't believe him. I was like, shut up. Because I know I've fallen from grace because everybody's told me I've fallen from grace, so shut up. I was angry. I was upset. I'd hurt people and I'd hurt God. I'd damaged the gospel. I took all this responsibility. Way too much looking back. But I took all the responsibility I could. But the problem was, I identified with my mess so badly, I thought I was my mess. And God had to take me 9,000 kilometers to a place called Thailand, where people knew nothing of me, didn't know my history, to show me who I really was. Because I thought I was a failure. I thought I'd run the grace of God dry. And there was plenty of people to tell me I had. You know, Job's comforters, not the best bunch of people you can have sometimes. The best things Job's comforters did for him was to keep their mouth shut for 7 days. Because they saw his pain and went, we ain't speaking into that. This man's lost his kids, he's lost his homes, he's lost his wife. Well, not his wife. So God took me all that way to Thailand to show me who I really was. And in that journey, I had to realize, why did I fail? Why did I struggle with sin? And there's a really easy answer to this. We've made this very, very complicated. I asked the Holy Spirit, and his answer, when the Holy Spirit answered me, I didn't talk to God for 6 months. That's how offensive this answer was to my heart. I said, Holy Spirit, how did I end up in this situation? And he said, son, you've been living under law. And I was like, shut up. I ain't hearing that. I've not lived under law. How dare I? I got indignant with him. No, I've had a relationship all these years since I was a young boy. I'm not talking to you anymore. You ain't fun. And it took me some time to come to a realization that when Paul said it best like this, the strength of the sin is the law. And the antidote for sin is grace. You know, when I was pastoring, people said great things about me. Has anybody said great things about you? You know, you've made you feel like on top of the world, and you know, and they've you know, oh, he's just doing great things for God. He's just doing incredible things. He's changing the atmosphere. He's just, how is it, international man of mystery? Well, it felt like it. And then my stock plummeted. So their value they had placed on me changed. See, when God called Gideon, where was Gideon? He was hiding. And what does God call Gideon? That's just weird. Have you ever looked, don't look at it through religious eyes. Look at, you know, we've all been in church, you know, I've been in church 30 years and been preaching 22 years this year. So we can look at things really, that's a weird thing to say to a man who's hiding in the back end of nowhere underneath this and that. And it's like, and God's like, you're a mighty man. He was no mighty man. But God called those things not as though they are. You see, that's what we need in the prophetic. You see, any fool can prophesy my sin to me. All you got to do is have one discerning eye and a working finger. Well, I see in your life, you're very rude. Well done. Yes, I am. Next. You see, God is looking for the gold diggers. Anybody wants to be a gold digger? Not about bank balances, but we're looking for the gold in people's lives. You see, and that's what happened in with me in Thailand. One of the things that I did a lot of in Thailand is mentoring. I did a one-year mentorship program with these five guys and girls. And just loved on them and called them up to who they were, not how they were. And it was an incredible journey to watch these guys going from nowhere, doing nothing, feeling nothing, having no connection to their destiny or to God. And now two of those guys are going all around Southeast Asia, prophesying and proclaiming the gospel, moving in the prophetic. It's just incredible. But when I met this guy, he couldn't operate a gift of prophecy even if he tried. Because he was just getting all this revelation. He was seeing angels, and he was getting all this, I mean, properly, you know, big league stuff, as we call it. But he didn't know how to operate with it, didn't know how to walk with it. So I walked with him over a period of time and loved him into a place where he could work well with pastors and work well with the people around him. And just to see him now, he was in Hong Kong the other day, taking the gospel. His culture still tells him he cannot. His culture is vilifying him because, well, you can't do that. You're only 26. 26. Spurgeon had a church of by 10 years at that point, been in ministry. But this guy got a hold of who he was and who we are, can feed into how we are. See, because if we think we're no good, guess what? If you call yourself stupid, guess what? If you call you're a bad boy. No, you see, I've had to learn. I became a husband and a dad on the same day. There was no 9-month waiting period. Here are two kids. Boom. I have no idea, God. Help. I don't know how to be a dad. The only thing I know about being a dad is don't go and visit your dad in prison. That's what I had to do age 10. Stabbing his girlfriend, nearly killed my sister. So I knew that wasn't a good role model. So, oh God, what do I do? See, because what I'm trying to point to is it's revelation that we governs our lives, or it should be. And so this week, my boy just, I don't know what happened to me. He just flipped out. He was like, I'm not talking to daddy. He was like, he was just wanting not come on Facebook. He's like, I'm not talking to daddy. He was like getting all festy and feisty, and you know, he was being rude and disrespectful. And I'm like, my wife put it on loudspeaker. Tim, come to the Facebook. So he comes. I says, what's it about? Don't know. He's not even a teenager yet. Please pray for me. This is before the hormones kick in. I says, what's going on, Tim? Don't want to prophesy the riverside. Well, talk to me about it. Tim, I'm not tolerating this. This is not who you are. You're better than this. You're better than this. This is not you. I'm sure secretly flipping me off. And I'm like, God, it's up to you. I ain't touching that one again for a couple of days. Next day, my wife's like, Tim wants to talk to you. He's been missing you. You see, because I called him to a higher place. God had to take me 5,000 miles to call me to a higher place because there was no one in the UK who would. You know, 7 years later, still people are sending reports of my sin around. 7 years. I'm married, 2 kids, successful ministry. But people's reference point is still how I screwed up. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I ain't perfect. Let's just establish that. And if you've been around me more than 2 minutes, you'll know I'm not perfect. But I am holy, and I am righteous, and I am above all judgment and reproach. Why? Because I'm... You're all right. Because you're in Christ. See, prophecy calls people to a higher place. I walked into work yesterday. Saturday, I love Saturdays. Saturdays are busy. Also, you got too many staff, so you can really smash out some sandwiches, have a laugh with the customers, have a laugh with the staff. Walked into my workplace, and one of my colleagues said, so, Ed, I hear you're a prophet. Pardon? What? I'm like, I'm now freaked out. What do you mean? Well, apparently, somebody told me this morning, you can hear God and tell me something for my life. What kind of reputation do you have, guys and girls? You see, the problem is we're far too lazy. Because this church is a really prophetic church. I mean, you've all done the training. Some of you have grumbled about doing so much training. So I want to say, rise up. No. You're all being really religious on me right now. No, rise up. Because, well, I just don't feel ready. God made me a mission to Thailand. I didn't feel ready. The church didn't think I was ready. But God decided I was ready. And do you know what happened in the process of me going out there and learning to hear the voice of God and sharing what was on my heart with people? People got saved, but do you know what happened? I got healed. Do you know? And if you're in Christ this morning, who's in Christ this morning? Woo! And even if you're not in Christ, we can put that right. Because, do you know, the world needs a message of hope, needs a message of grace, needs a message that says, I see your mess, but I look beyond that and I see who God has called you to be. Because we're calling people to a higher place. Amen? What happened to Peter? Peter was nicknamed Rocky. Do you think Jesus was having a joke? Think God is sarcastic? Well, yes, if you read Job, he is quite sarcastic with Job. I think he is anyway. If God said, spoke to me like he spoke to Job, I'd be like, God, that's really sarky. You know, he called him Rocky. He called him a stone. He called him strong and secure and emotionally stable and everything that is associated with being a rock. The one thing that Peter definitely wasn't was stable. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to burn this body for you, Jesus. I love you so much. Jesus never heard of him. No, don't know who he is. No. This guy wasn't stable. He was a loose cannon. He was a risk. And do you know what Jesus did? Right, Rocky? Because that's what changes people and nations. Because nations are changed one heart at a time. And God needs every single one of us to change just one heart. Come on, stand up with me. You're all going to sleep. Let's pray. You're all going to sleep. It's the heat, I know. But do you know what? If we're in Thailand, we'd only be halfway through right now. And God wants us to, don't worry, we're not going to go 5 hours. Don't freak out. But do you know what? There is a place of hunger that God wants to stir in you. And there's a place of risk that God wants to you to step out in today. Amen? Amen. Because I am calling you to a higher place than the prophetic. I make a demand on the gifts and the callings of God that rises in this church. Because I was reading the email thing this week, and I never noticed it before. At the top it says, love, serve, train, release. And it's time to release yourself. See, everybody's wanting, I was wanting someone to put their greasy apostolic hand on me and bless me and tell me I was okay and I was safe. And I had to work through not getting that. Because if our self-esteem and our self of who we are depends on another person, I can speak from experience that when that person really gets to know you, they may change their value and opinion of you. But God never does. He sees us as we are, naked, and he goes, that's really good. And that hope and that acceptance is what the world needs through the prophetic. Because the one thing that will change this world, Jesus told us, the world will know you are my disciples by your love. So, Father God, I just want to thank you for the gifts and the callings in this room right now. I want to thank you, Father, that you love us without condition this morning. That, Father God, that if we are all in Christ this morning and we are new creations, the old is gone, the new has come. Somebody pray in tongues with me. Somebody believe with me that God is wanting to stir you to a new place of faith. That God loves you. In the name of Jesus, we just declare love, love. Love, oh, Father God, just release a gift of hunger in your people this morning. Release a gift of hunger in us all this morning. Hungry for you, hungry for your love, hungry for what you've called us to do, Father. There are some of you that have been waiting with a thermometer to check if you're done. And then when you feel you're done, you're going to go. But I want to say, stop testing yourself and just go. Jesus took 12 guys with no experience, no Bible schools, who were considered failures in their generation, and said, go. What we don't realize is the world needs what you have this morning. I know England needs what I have this morning, but England has not pulled the wealth that is in me so far. It's got 3 more months. What will England pull from me in this 3 months? What will England pull from Dave in this next season? What is he going to pull from Chris in this next season? Because you've got to stop. Max, I was thinking about you. I know you're not Max, but I feel like this morning I was coming on the bus, the train, and the God said, Max, he's Max. I'm like, no, he's not Max. He's definitely not Max. But from the moment I met you, I've always called you Max. And the Holy Spirit just highlighted, so I looked at it, and you know, it's from the shortened word of Maximilian, which means the greatest. That when God looks at our lives, he just goes, you're the greatest. You're the greatest. You're the greatest. Why? Because you're in Christ. Because you're in Christ. Paul said, I'm going to know no one after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All the oldies knew that one. So, Father, I declare that this is a river church. That this is a river church. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Put your hand on your river. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers, 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 rivers. Just ask him for a gift of hunger right now, church. Ask him. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Is that you this morning? So reach out to heaven right now and cry out like you need him, like you need a fresh touch, that God, I need you, I want you, that you're going to break out of your culture this morning, you're going to break out of your tiredness this morning, because church, he calls you to a higher place. He said to the Apostle John, come up here so I can show you the things that must take place. And God is calling you to a higher place. Oh, there's only about 3 people in the room that believe me so far, but there are those 3 people, I'm calling you to a higher place. Because it doesn't take a city to save a nation. It just takes a handful to change a nation. It just takes a handful. A 1 and a 2 can change a nation. One of the things that... I don't believe in this, but never mind. One of the things that happened in my journey is that people in authority had spoken stuff over my life. Negative stuff. You're this, you're that, you're the other. And this morning, I believe he just wants to break off some of that stuff. Because you are not defined by what people say about you, even if it's true. So, where's the hungry? Where's the hungry? I've made a call. Harabasanda, I'm calling you now. Where are those 3 hungry people? Where are those 3 hungry people? Come. Come for the worship time. Come. If you're hungry, come. Come, call out right now if you're hungry, 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 if you're not hungry, you can get hungry. If you're not hungry, you can get hungry. Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, we just declare fire, fire. Every change that you desire, Sarah, God will do. He has birthed those desires in your heart, so do not give up. Moya's hungry. Jesus, Jesus. 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 Just ask him for that grace to be hungry. The grace to be hungry. Because hunger is not something we produce. Hunger is a grace. Jesus. 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 Harabasatande di si tarabosotarabasandarikisi. Horabasandariki da barobosotarende si. Ho saranda didididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididididid for more than notices. Jesus. Oh, rubber satarin. I just see fireballs coming out of your mouth, Frank. And you may be a legal eagle, but you're God's eagle soaring in heavenly places. And you're going to bring the fire, because that's who you are. You're not your profession. You're a wild man. You're a wild man. You're a wild man. And I declare you're going to find a fresh fire and a fresh zeal. Every dormant gift of prophecy, I just breathe on in the name of Jesus. Every dormant gift that sat unused, that we just breathe on it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for Riverside. Thank you for all these waters. Thank you for all these waters flowing. Thank you, Lord, for you say in your word that the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, for Riverside. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of the Lebanon shall be given, the excellency of the Carmel and the Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now, Lord, just strengthen those weak hands, confirm those feeble knees. And I say to you with the authority of the Lord, that you're not of a fearful heart. You're strong. Then the Lord says to you, fear not. Behold, your God is coming. He's coming with a vengeance. He's coming to recompense. And he's coming to save you. And you know what? This is the most amazing bit. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then the lame man will leap as a hart. Yeah. Come back. Shall leap as a hart. shall leap as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For in the wilderness shall the waters break out. This is you. This is who you are. This is the word I was given in October. You're Riverside. You've got waters, and these waters are breaking out. They're breaking out. Streams in the desert. This is a desert place. We live in a desert place. This is a desert place. All around us, is desert. It's just longing for this water. It wants your water. And this is what will happen. This is what will happen as your water pours out. You will see the eyes of the blind. You will hear, see the ears of the deaf opened through your water pouring out. For this is the desert. This is the desert. It's here right now. Receive and pour it out. Thank you, Father.